Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Big game, big win in so many ways for the Minnesota Vikings. They win 26-20 in overtime. A statement game, certainly, by quarterback Kirk Cousins. To talk about it, we bring in Ben Lieber. He is a former NFL linebacker, actually played for the Vikings, current radio announcer with the Vikings. And Ben, how are you? Thanks for joining us this evening.
I'm doing great, Lori. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I think one of the happier men around has to be Kirk Cousins. You know, let's start there. I always talk this time of year about legacy and players who can change the narrative in the playoffs in a way that you just can't do in the regular season. So what, you know, as somebody who obviously follows the team, what, you know, how has the perception of Kirk Cousins changed today versus a week ago?
Well, you know, I think we're still going to give it, you know, 24 hours to see how the public responds and sort of calms down. I don't want to jump to conclusions and say that, listen, everything that has followed him around about not winning the big game and, you know, he's not primetime Kirk and all that stuff, I don't know if that's completely erased because of one game, but I do think that it's going to take a big chunk out of that narrative, because I thought that he played lights out. There were a couple plays and a couple throws where it looks like he was just throwing the ball in the dirt because of lack of accuracy, or maybe it was just a bad pass. But when you look close at some of those plays, those were just plays that he just had to throw in the dirt and not try to throw it into harm's way, and he didn't want to risk any throws. And so I thought there were some smart decisions made by him, even on some incomplete passes. Mm-hmm. He had some wide receivers drop some balls on him as well. So there's some hidden yardage. I think if you're a box score watcher, then you think, oh, it's kind of a pedestrian day in a playoff game. But I think there's some hidden yardage on the field that his group didn't help him out with. And he played with that steely demeanor that we've seen for a large chunk of the season.
Yeah, I also thought and as a former player, if you know, your take on, obviously the big throw in overtime. And you know, sometimes when we do change how we think about a player, you almost need those signature moments. And that throw to Adam Thielen from a former player and former defensive player perspective, just how good was that throw?
It was perfect. It was on the money. You know, if you follow this team enough, you've seen Kirk make some of those throws, obviously not in some of the bigger games that you're expecting, but when the team needed a spark and they needed a play to get down the field, that's what you want your quarterback to do. And that's what you want your high profile quarterback to do. And, you know, kudos to Kevin Stefanski, the offensive coordinator, for realizing that there was an injury on the play before. Mm-hmm. A backup corner has to come in and guard one of the better receivers in the league. And there was an intentional mismatch and intentional play to get Adam Thielen down the field on a player that was coming fresh off the bench. And Kirk knew it. Thielen knew it, and he put it in a spot where only Adam could go and get it. And time and time again, we've seen Kirk throw his receivers open, and we've got a couple of really good ones that can just flat out at the last second make some great catches.
Talking to Ben Lieber, covers the Vikings for KFAN Radio. And so obviously the other, you know, besides Kirk Cousins and his play, the other story that's going to get talked about a lot, of course, is the last play, Kyle Rudolph. And I understand that maybe you are not unbiased, but from your from your lens, should that last play, the touchdown catch in the end zone, was that offensive pass interference?
You know, I didn't think about it at the time. I wasn't thinking that there would be any sort of, like, I didn't think there'd be an obvious flag or anything. I saw the hand fighting going on. I saw Kyle go up and make the play. And then it was only after on social media, and obviously a lot of the Saints fans, they've been burned by by bad officiating in the past, and they were obviously very loud on social media. And so then I kind of dove into it a little bit more, watched the play from that lens, and I didn't think so. You know, I'll even take my purple sunglasses off and just look at it from a fan's perspective. You know, I saw a much bigger man going against a much smaller corner, and they were just hand fighting. And I didn't think there was an egregious push off. And even was it Riveron even came out from the head officiating and said, "Yeah, that's this hand fighting. There was nothing that we would deem to be offensive pass interference." So I'll take it even from his mouth that no, there shouldn't have been a foul. And if the Saints fans want to, I guess, complain about that one play and think that was the one play, I think they missed most of the game and missed the fact the Vikings pretty much dominated and took care of their football team.
Yeah, you know, as you know, it's never, you know, you can never say, oh, it was this one play. You know, go ahead and win a football game in regulation. Don't let it go to overtime. All of that. So, you know, there's never complaining that, oh, that's the thing that cost us the game. However, I think saying Al Riveron said so these days is not something that most NFL fans, that doesn't, you know, carry as much credibility as one might hope.
No, that's true. That's true.
I'll tell you from a truly unbiased perspective, I thought it could have been, and even to my lens, it looked like full-arm push-off offensive pass interference. But I would be okay if they did not, if they chose not to overturn it and say, hey, it's not. Is it fair? Here was my issue. Is it fair to say that the whole point with the Saints and last year, and we've been tortured all year with this, you know, the potential overrules, was that shouldn't it have at least have taken a moment at the end of the game to review it and review it properly, give it 30 seconds, give it a, you know, whatever period of time it is, not, you know, not minutes, but give it a period of time to review it so that there is satisfaction to say it's not. Didn't it justify that?
Sure, I'll go into your camp and sit there for a while and entertain that. If I was on the other side of that, I would say, why can't we just at least look at that from that lens? And sure, should that have been looked at? Absolutely. Do I think it would have changed anything based on the way the officiating had gone that day and during the game? I don't think it would have, because they were letting those guys play. You know, there was a quick slant pass to Kyle Rudolph earlier in the game, in which the replay shows that he was being held pretty much the whole time, and the ball was nearly intercepted. And so those are the type of physical plays I think they're letting the players get away with. And, you know, that's one of those crunch time critical plays that I don't think the referees, again, unless it's egregious, and that's an NFL term that they keep throwing out this year, unless it's egregious, I don't think that you can make that call in that game situation.
Yeah, we're going to have to probably start in the offseason getting definitions of egregious. the officials will have to come to training camp with each team and do demos of what is and what's not egregious. Actually, I'm curious about that as somebody who's played, you know, now take away today's game for a second and just where do you stand on this pass interference, offensive or defensive, that it is now a reviewable play. Are you in favor of that or not?
You know, I am in favor of it only because I'm hoping that as an ex-defensive player that there will be more calls of offensive pass interference, and they will start seeing as they look at a lot of these, and they have a whole year to kind of look at these plays now, and realize that there's a lot of times where the offensive player initiates the contact. The offensive player is the one that's sort of the aggressor, and the defensive player is either reeling because their weight has been redistributed and they're pushing back and they've got to recover and there might be a pull or something like that. I think if they really dive into some of these calls, that the offensive player is just as guilty sometimes. And I'm hoping that the pendulum starts to swing the other way, because this game is so offensively biased. And defensive players are having a hard time even tackling and knowing what a tackle is. I do think that it will make the game better. I think it will make the game more competitive, and it'll definitely make the game more even.
Talking to Ben Lieber, former NFL linebacker, currently covering for on radio the Minnesota Vikings. And So let you know, you made the point that the Vikings really, you know, for the large part, did it felt like the Vikings outplayed the Saints in this game. And I would agree with that. And so even starting from the beginning, if we look at it and say the Saints came out and it felt like they started slowly in this game. From your view, is that more a function of the Saints just being flat or Vikings' defensive game plan?
You know, I thought they came out a little flat. I was actually a little curious about that from my perspective on the sidelines and watching it with my own eyes. But, you know, even Drew, who is a player that I was in San Diego with, and it was a teammate of mine, and I've competed against him as well when I played with the Vikings, and, you know, just didn't seem to be that same sort of fire in his eyes. And just his body language and the sense of urgency and the way he just sort of moves around. I've seen him at his most intense moments in playoff situations, and it just didn't seem like he was feeling it. And so I think that sort of had an effect on the offense, especially maybe the whole team, that they did come out a little flat. And there really is no excuse for that. I mean, it's obvious they've got a home playoff game. They've got the crowd behind them, which they're one of the better fan bases in the league.
Yep.
And there's no reason why they should have come out flat. So I do think that they came out a little flat. And I'm certainly not going to take anything away from the Vikings game plan because I thought it was excellent. Very well executed. The offensive line for the Vikings, which has been sort of a question mark all season long, was a completely different offensive line. They were capturing edges. They were moving guys laterally, creating seams and creating space. And you saw the dynamic ability of Dalvin Cook to get downhill.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it was a little bit of a flat team that the Saints came out with, and they realized that they couldn't keep up with the pace and the physicality of the Vikings.
And the other thing that, you know, as you were saying, is the Saints, you can never blame it on one play. The other thing that I thought was a real issue for the Saints was clock management. And were you surprised with the Saints that at the end of the game, the way the game ended in regulation, they still had a timeout? Was that curious from your perspective how they use their timeouts?
You know, it sort of was. We were kind of looking at it from a radio broadcast crew is kind of talking about it, like, okay, what are they going to do with this one timeout here and how are they going to do it? And it never really came to fruition how we thought it was going to happen. So it was a little curious, but I certainly don't think it was a big difference in the game. I think I expected a little bit more control and a little bit more of a plan coming from Sean Payton.
Yeah, I just thought that, you know, on paper, you would have thought, advantage Drew Brees, Sean Payton over Kirk Cousins, Kevin Stefanski, you know, Mike Zimmer, and the game really played out quite the opposite in terms of that. And, you know, through my lens, Kirk Cousins thoroughly outplayed Drew Brees today, which, I don't know, if I had told you that before the game, would you have been surprised?
Well, I think, you know, I think everybody outside of Minnesota had the Vikings losing. They had Drew Brees outplaying Kirk Cousins. And I, listen, again, I can't complain with that. You know, there's a team in the Saints that in the last seven games was the number one scoring offense in the NFL. Drew Brees looked like he was peaking at the right time. The Vikings are coming on a two-game losing streak, albeit the last game of the season they sat their starters, but an absolute clunker on Monday Night Football against the Packers. I mean, add it all up, and if I would be just a normal football fan and not working with the Vikings, I probably would have picked the Vikings to lose as well. But there's just something about watching this team, something about the fact that I know that they can play their best. And when they play their best, they're an awfully tough team, and they always play the Saints tough. I mean, that's one thing, even going back to my playing days, we've always, for whatever reason, have given Drew Brees fits, and I knew Mike Zimmer was going to have something special dialed up for him.
All right, real quick, only about 30 seconds or so before I have to let you go, but looking ahead to next week, number one seeded 49ers in San Francisco. Give me a top key to the game. What do the Vikings have to do if they're going to win?
Well, I think the same thing going into this game our offensive line has to control their defensive front. I think that the 49ers defensive front is bigger and probably more physical than New Orleans. It's going to be a huge test. If they don't manage that, they're not going to get Dalvin running downhill. They're not going to get the play action boot game and all that stuff working. And that was the key difference in this game. There was not a lot of penetration vertically in the run game for the defensive front. And then in the pass game, I thought we sold the play action very well, and we sealed off the edges pretty well and gave Kirk time even in straight drop back. So it was a much better performing offensive line, and I think that was the big difference. So I think going against a defense that, quite frankly, is just they're monstrous up front, it's going to take that sort of effort and more to get a victory, and that's just one facet of it. Obviously, I think everybody knows about their weapons offensively. But these are two very similar offenses. You know, Shanahan, Kubiak, Stefanski, they all sort of learn off the same offensive system with the zone blocking and all the play action pass game. So I think our defense and their defense are going to be ready to go because it's basically the same sort of offense they've been seeing year round.
All right, Ben Lieber, appreciate the time, and good luck to the Vikings the rest of the way. We'll catch up with you down the road.
Thanks a lot, Lori.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.